Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Happy Reformation Day! Happy Reformation Day! Happy Reformation Day! Happy Reformation Day!
This is Wretched Radio. Happy Reformation Day. Would you please send stuff to idea@wretched.org or text away 877-282-2337. Had some questions at Oklahoma State University and Oklahoma University about Roman Catholicism. Actually, a number of questions came up. And this might be really helpful for you, mom and dad, or youth group leader. There was one young man, just a polite young gentleman. And he transparently said, hey, I'm kind of checking out Roman Catholicism and Orthodoxy, Eastern Orthodoxy. What are your thoughts? Well, I had plenty of them because he was particularly interested. That was my question. Well, why are you pursuing it? Because I didn't want to be shooting targets that didn't exist. And his issue was he was intrigued by the Mass, specifically what we would call the Lord's Table, communion. He was very intrigued by that. And I had to point him to the Reformers because that was one of the big battlegrounds of the Protestant Reformation. We tend to overlook that. But the issue of transubstantiation, a Roman Catholic priest, a mere mortal, calling down Jesus from heaven to somehow turn elements that clearly remain bread and wine into body and blood to consume them as an act of being re-sacrificed? Wow! And the Protestant Reformers said, not a chance, because that violates the completed redemptive work of Jesus Christ. They found it to be quite a blasphemous celebration. And so I was able to share some of that with him. But I know that he would do really, really well to study the Protestant Reformers and what they debated the Roman Catholic Church over so that they can be aware of the issues. What did surprise me a little bit is that this young man didn't say, well, I'm intrigued by the historicity of it. He was to a degree. But that didn't seem to be the first thing that came out of his mouth, that I want to be connected to something ancient and historic. We need to let our young people know, oh, you are connected to something ancient and historic. Believe me, you're very connected. It's called the invisible church, not a visible institution, the invisible church. You're connected for all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed. That's your ancestry. And we need to let students know that so that they don't go looking. They've got an itch they want to have scratched. Well, we can scratch it. It's called the invisible church. So to you, mom and dad, or youth group leader, if you are not talking about the Protestant Reformation, this is a good opportunity to do so today. And then send stuff to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Naomi. Todd, I have a friend who recently made a social media post where she rebuked Christian ladies for their choice of wedding attire. While I see the need to ensure that we glorify God in our dress, regardless of the occasion, and hold each other accountable, I don't think the post was very loving or kind, and it bordered on being legalistic. I'm also unsure that a lengthy social media post was the most appropriate choice for this rebuke. Should this be corrected? And if so, how does one go about lovingly correcting them without killing their zeal for God's word?
I'd try to do it privately. Those conversations are far more fruitful when it's done one-on-one as opposed to social media. So if you have the opportunity to reach that person and say, hey, would like to talk to you privately, now that would go a million miles. Social media is a tricky beast because it does have the propensity to come across as snarky. It just does. And some people think that they have this shield in front of them that blocks them from any sort of accusations of being unkind because they can sometimes even be nameless. So it's a territory that is fraught with arrows flying in all directions. However, to not be in that arena, to me, is a mistake as Christians. That is the village green. That is where people gather. They don't do it physically anymore. They do it online. And so we want to be engaging. We just have to do it in an engaging manner. We really have to watch our... Hey, we've got a thing on that too. Wow, there's a lot of stuff at FortisPlus.org. It was really good. It was called the thing. Go ahead and tell everybody what that was called with Justin Peters. We did it a couple of years ago, if I'm not mistaken. Wow, was it a couple of years ago? About judging?
Not judge not. That's your book.
Yeah, exactly. You'll find it. Just go looking at FortisPlus.org because we talk about what we need. We specifically, I think if I remember right, it was segment 6. And we'd used that before here on Wretched Radio. It was the letter that was so helpful that John Newton wrote to another pastor who had told him that he's going to put something in the newspaper criticizing another pastor. And Newton said, before you do that, bro, here are some things to consider. Oh, man, is that ever helpful. So be an engager online. Just engage in a way that is Christ-like because there's a lot at stake. Newton brought up the issue of, okay, not only are you, if you decided to write about or to this woman and everybody got to see it, first of all, you need to be mindful of her soul. Are you ministering to her or are you going at her? So you don't want to commit the same the same mistake that she appears to have made. Second of all, you've got different people that are going to read that post. You've got believers and unbelievers. And you got to be mindful of it. It just really, that means when you post something online, if you just zing it out there, regrets, you'll have more than a few if you do that a lot because you're not taking the time to think through, all right, how might an unbeliever read? What are they going to think about Christians if they see this post? It will guide you and help you a ton to remember that your post, it's a public declaration of a Christian. And you want to make sure that anybody whose eyes read it don't get put off by Jesus because they perceive the attitude or the tone of one of his followers is kind of snarky. Jimmy, did you find it?
Thou shalt judge.
Thou shalt judge. Okay, well, it had the word judge. It's free. Right. And I think it's got a study guide to boot, I think. It's at FortisPlus.org. See? All this stuff for free at Fortis, but man, we got so much stuff for free. Hey, you want to be encouraged by something? All right, this is probably a week old. I was supposed to do this last week. Here it is. Right here. Hold on a second. I gotta find my here. Pando. Do you know what a pando is? It's not a bear in China. Pando is a web. It's a thing with the. It's an app. Is what my notes say. It's an app. Created originally for inmates. And so it's in more than 200 facilities and on 400,000 tablets already. That is awesome. Somebody's doing a good work there at Pando. At any rate, they put Transformed on. And okay, in just 2 weeks, over 15,000 views from inmates. That's awesome. That's just, that's good stuff. And that's just, it just makes our cold conservative hearts virtually melt because that's just exactly what we exist for. We want to create stuff that's biblical and useful and can be widely disseminated for free. So if you're a gospel partner and you allow that to happen, be encouraged. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, is it okay for a pastor to write down and read his pastoral prayer during Sunday service?
Yeah, sure. In fact, kind of encourage that because it'll just be more structured. It'll be more thoughtful. You're going to miss stuff. I mean, it's okay if you do it off the top of your noodle if you have that gift. But I think most of us write better prayers because we can think about it. You know what? I repeated it there. Oh, that was a little, it'll just be more articulate. So yeah. And if I could encourage you, brother, increasingly make it longer and longer. stretch your congregation so that they settle into it. It's so easy. Don't you just feel it when a prayer happens? Because if you're not like settled into the service, because this is the highlight event of the week, and you know, prayer can be, it's hard to sometimes concentrate. It's like, how long is this prayer gonna be? You just kind of want it to like let's get on to the next thing where I can open my eyes and look around and sing. And so it's easy to be distracted and to not concentrate. And what do you do anytime that you want to do something better and longer? You need to rehearse it. You need to exercise it. And a pastor can lead the congregation in that exercise by not, you know, suddenly it's doing like a 7-minute prayer and everybody's just really struggling, but just exercise that prayer muscle a little bit more every single week. And you will discover that it trains us. It trains us. So when the prayer happens, it's not like, all right, make it snappy, Pastor. Instead, it's like, all right, we get to approach the throne of grace, and you settle in and you actually engage your brain. So Pastor, lead your congregation in a prayer exercise. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting, just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Dyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. And it is not what you think. Dr. Dyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood, real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Attributes of God. Do you think God explodes with anger when you sin? Remember the word impassibility. It means that God is without passion. His affections, such as wrath, anger, and love, are always foreknown, voluntary, and controlled, and they are always consistent with God's unchanging nature. and his wrath has been settled on the cross. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If I didn't know better, I think we're professionals here at Wretched Radio. If you visit FortisPlus.org, lo and behold, right on the main streamer banner thingy, right up on top, post Tenebras Lux. Learn about the Protestant Reformation, and everybody there has a beard except Martin Luther. What was up with Martin? Why didn't he? Maybe he just couldn't. I think he could, because even the picture, who did the, wasn't Cranfield, who did the picture, the most famous painting of Martin Luther? You can tell he could have grown a beard, but I know why. Because he wasn't reformed. There it is, right there. That's the beard distinction. You can learn all about the Protestant Reformation. Might be something that you could do with your kids. I'm looking at how the Reformation changed Christianity, what the Reformation truly accomplished, why this theology is undoing the Reformation. Wonder what that one's about. Here's John Krautz. How the Reformation brought the Bible must be back. Oh, there's On the Shoulders of Giants. My son is in that. He did a really good job traveling around Europe about 20 years ago. And the picture that the little thumbnail that's up, I'm sitting in a recreation of the cell that William Tyndale sat in Vilvoorde before he was executed for wanting the Bible to be in the language of the people. Oh, here's another one. Post-Reformation liberalism. Oh, that's a bonus feature. That was standing in front of a picture. It was a painting in a church. We must have been in London because James Pace was taking us around. And there was a picture that, unfortunately, in this church, there was just a bunch of junk stacked in front of it. It was like this glorious mural that you'd see in a museum covering an entire wall. And it's a picture of, I don't think it's Tyndale or it's somebody on their deathbed. It wouldn't be Tyndale because he was actually put to a stake where they strangled him with a chain so that he couldn't preach while the flames consumed him. And then they had a bag of gunpowder around his neck to blow his head off. Nice. So whoever this reformer person, I got to think of it. It's going to drive me bonkers. He's on his deathbed. And on one side, he's got the Roman Catholics coming at him like and knocking the Bible away from him. And on the other side, are the Protestants at his bedside comforting him and praying for him. And there's more symbolism there that I actually explain in that particular video, which you can watch for free. If you visit FortisPlus.org, there's a lot of stuff here. Evangelicals and Catholics together. Can we unite? Oh, this was the papacy. This was good too. That was with Tim Challies. There's a lot of good stuff on the Reformation. It's all free, courtesy of our gospel partner. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. FortisPlus.org. Then send us stuff, your thoughts, perhaps, comments, critiques. We'll take them all. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I had a witnessing encounter with a fellow who knows about Adam and Eve, the fall, God's law, and a little about Christ, and he believes in heaven and hell. However, he is very angry with God because this man says he was, quote, never asked by God if he even wanted to exist in a world with sin and misery. What is a good response in this case?
I'm feeling kind of Romans 9. Who do we think we are? That God didn't ask for permission to create us. Well, he doesn't have to. He just does. And what he does is good. And creating you, sir, was a good thing. And you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And he didn't just assemble you at a factory where you were just on a line where you just got cranked out. No, he knit you together in your mother's womb. And guess what? He has works for you to do. And he has a manual and a people for you to help you in your journey towards Celestial City, where you get to spend eternity with the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. Really? You wanted him to ask permission to create you? First of all, how would he ask permission of somebody that didn't exist? That little technicality aside, how's about rather than wondering, okay, God, why didn't you ask me, as if we get to sit in judgment of him? How's about we go, wow, he lets me exist. Wow, praise God for his goodness to me. I think the other thing that I would do, quite honestly, is probe that. What's going on there? That's kind of, is he upset? Did he experience a loss? Was there some sort of tragedy where he's got a simmering blueness underneath the surface? Does he have a root of bitterness? So I think there are things you could say to respond to his accusation against God that he was mean for not seeking his permission. I would go digging, get to the heart of the issue. That's just a fruit. I think there's a root.
I wonder if he's also angry at his parents.
Good. Yeah. Well, it could be.
That's an honest question.
Look, it could be a million things.
Well, I mean, they didn't ask his permission either. That's what I'm getting at. So,
I see.
Yeah. But it's an honest question.
He's got it. Well, but maybe he does have issues with his parents. Maybe he has issues with his financial status. Maybe he has issues with his height because God didn't give him as many inches as he'd want to, and he has to wear lifts in his shoes. I don't know. That's the point. Go digging, because that sort of statement, anytime that you get a question that is kind of like, there's probably something deep underneath it. Go dig it out. Then you can actually help the guy. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Joe. Todd, so recently you were talking about honoring your mother and father. What about in-laws who are a burden to my wife and cause her trouble? Shouldn't I, as the husband, be allowed to make the decision to limit how much time we spend with them and how much time our children should be exposed to them?
That was a lot right there. The answer is absolutely you should play that role. If indeed, now I'm going to put about 75,000 asterisks next to that indeed. If indeed they are causing your wife pain, then it is absolutely your role to step in the middle of that and say, hey, Mom and Dad, love you to pieces, but this is happening. Now, this should be a progression. This shouldn't be an immediate, gonna cut you off. That's what they do in the secular humanist world with let them theory. We're just gonna cut you off because you're so horrible. You're toxic and I'm done with you. So I'm gonna let you go. I'm building boundaries. That's the most loving thing I can do for me. Don't do that. Make it step by step. Hey, Mom and Dad, I just got to talk to you about this. You know, when this happens, when you do that, when you act like that, it's really rough on the family and it's hurtful to my wife. So, hey, could you be mindful of that? Leave it there. See how they do. And if they fail, then you got to turn it up a little bit. Hey, Mom and Dad, you remember how we talked about that? Yeah, still doing it. Could you work harder on stopping that? They don't. Hey, Mom and Dad, I'm sorry. This is the third time we've had to talk about this. Apparently, I'm not really making myself as emphatically clear as I need to. That behavior toward my wife, it really needs to stop. And you can do it in degrees, and you can pick as many degrees as you want to. And if ultimately anybody is assaulting your wife and family, anybody, that is the dad's job to step in front of that and take the bullet and block it. That is your job. Just don't do it like the world, because they do it so horrifically and it's nasty and it's ugly and divisive. It should be one of care and compassion. And if they're believers, it should be even easier. Hey, brother and sister, this behavior toward my wife, I have to point it out to you. It's sinful. What can I do to help? What can I do to help you not do this? So they're just degrees. Don't start where the world starts. You want to hear the world's at it? We're going to do a bunch about this subject, because I'm telling you, this is just everywhere these days with this let them theory and cutting people off. Here's the description of the let them theory book. It sold 7 million copies. What if the key to happiness, success, and love was... were as simple as two words? If you've ever felt stuck, overwhelmed, or frustrated with where you are, the problem isn't you. Oh no, it couldn't possibly be me. The problem is the power you give to other people. Two simple words, let them, will set you free. That's funny. I thought Jesus ate John 8, 31 and 32. Free from the opinions, drama, and judgments of others. Free from the exhausting cycle of trying to manage everything. Let Them Theory puts the power to create a life you love back in your hands, and this book will show you how to do it. Cut them off. Build a boundary. Do it for you so that you can be happy. Here's a post. Every time you say no to something that leaves you feeling empty, you're choosing peace over pressure. That's not selfish. It's self-respect. Setting boundaries, that phrase, doesn't make you harsh or unkind. It probably does, actually. It means you're finally listening to your heart, and protecting your energy. You're learning to say yes to what feels right and no to what breaks you down. Honor your limits. You don't have to explain them to anyone. Sometimes the most loving thing you can do for yourself and others is to protect your peace. Well, you need to protect your family as a Christian man, but not like that. Do it in degrees and do it lovingly and honoring them. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.